Hello, my name is Max Montilaro. We are live here at Tech Unplugged New York, and we're here with Andrea Leibovitz from Datrium, James Green from Actual Tech Media, and Keith Townsend from the CTO Advisor. So it's great to have you guys here today. Andre, you were presenting not so long ago here at Tech Unplugged New York about Datrium, about DVX, and what you guys are doing in the hype, open converged space. So can you tell us a bit more about that? And I'd like then to get some ideas, some thoughts from James and from Keith here about how the industry is moving away from hyperconvergence towards open convergence.
Yeah, no, well, first of all, thanks for having me here. Thanks for having Datrium here. Hey, Keith, nice to see you again. James, nice to see you again. So, you know, technology moves fast, right? What is 10 years ago, we had a concept of that became very successful, hyperconvergence, and which is still a lot of people don't know what hyperconvergence is. And I need sometimes, you know, even the presentation that I gave today, sort of like explain why are we doing what are we doing.
And you've been a big part of that as well, right, in the past, before joining Datrium, right? So
I was in a hyperconvergence company and before at VMware as well for many years. So I've been living this journey of evolution of the data center, and I think is we're only getting started. I think there's a lot more to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you a kind of unique opportunity to see how we are moving really from towards that the journey towards the open convergence, what you guys are doing with DVX. Do you want to tell us a bit more about how you see how it makes more sense probably than hyperconverge? Or you guys see that maybe replacing hyperconverge on the long run or on the short run?
Yeah, look, from a technology and industry perspective, I think the theme is simplicity, right? How do we simplify on-premise data centers, or how do we make them as seamless as the cloud, right? In some sense, when we buy something from the cloud, you know, if you go to AWS and you say I wanted this instance and this size, but that's what you do. You don't actually say how things will be architected, how it will be protected, how the data will be replicated. This is all sort of like hidden under the covers. So how can we embrace what they have done and what they are delivering in a seamless way in private data centers? You know, there's a lot of workloads that will move to the cloud, no doubt, but there are many workloads that will still run on-premise, either because there's data sovereignty or the workload is not, you know, a good fit for the cloud. But overall, I think the high-level theme is how do we simplify and we enable companies to achieve sort of like similar results and similar scale in their on-premise data center. They are on-premise data centers.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say that from an architectural standpoint, a lot of the reason that we have been building hyperconvergence the way we have is to try and get those cloud-like outcomes that you were talking about. And so when I think about hyperconvergence as it's evolving, I think that, at least for me, the specific architecture, I like to geek out on it personally, but it doesn't matter all that much in comparison to getting the results, the business outcomes that you're looking for. Now, it does matter. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but for me anyway, and this is kind of maps to what Actual Tech Media CEO Scott Lowe was talking about in his presentation here today, which is it's about the outcomes.
Yeah.
And so let's not get too bogged down in talking about what constitutes HCI and what doesn't, and let's talk about what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, and I think just tying in, I love the theme of the overall day, which was more or less geared on outcomes. You know, we talked about containers and the role of containers on top of VMs. And now, ultimately, whether it's a container, whether it's a VM, and the container running on a VM, it has to run on something. And that something has to be reliable. It has to be easy to manage. As we look to abstract away the data center, we're still worried about how fast and how reliable and how to manage the underlying data center infrastructure is. And enterprise architects, enterprise engineers just simply don't have the time to expand upon taking, you know, this artisanal approach to building data center components when they need to turn their attention to this higher abstraction and figuring out how do I deliver Kubernetes? How do I deliver automated provisioning of applications and resources? The infrastructure just has to work at this point. And CIOs need cost consistency. They need to be able to limit the overall impact from downtime from the underlying IT infrastructure. And this is why this whole product category is so critically important. If you don't get this right, you're not going to get that higher abstraction right. You're not going to be able to move to, you know, Andre, you talked about cloud DVX, the ability to replicate your on-premises DVX to the cloud and back up your solutions to the cloud. Yes. I don't want to have to worry about LUNs and migrating and replicating LUNs and data sets. I want that to be taken care of so I can pay attention to that higher level of abstraction.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So like bringing it down actually to what it means, because it's all good to talk like at a high level about how mm-hmm. it should be, but how do we make it happen, right? How do we make this happen from a technology standpoint? At the end of the day, you need technology to deliver this sort of outcome, right? So I have a good example, of course. I'm going to talk about Datrium, but we removed all the knobs. Like our storage technology will deliver all data features that every enterprise storage solution would have nowadays. But we took a different approach. We said, you know what? Everything should be on at all times. So when you have, I was talking to James, like when you have two VMs or 10 VMs, you sort of know what's running in there. So you can sort of try with deduplication and compression and replication to see what works for what. But when you have like hundreds or thousands of VMs, how do you know that? How do you even consider managing it, enabling, disabling? It becomes a very challenging task. So infrastructure vendors should think about simplifying to the point where it becomes so easy to manage that you don't have to worry. And in our case, we just completely removed knobs. There's no knobs in the Datrium system at all.
And then, James, how do you feel about the whole no knobs thing? Like,
are you a knob guy?
I am a knob guy. But when we get back to the discussion about business outcomes, the knobs do not matter to the business outcomes. There's one thing that's scary about that, though, is when you take the knobs away, now I have to trust that you're doing it right because I can't get in there and turn the knobs. You know what I'm saying? So I think that scares some people. Me personally, I'm good with it. I want the outcomes and I believe you're going to help me if it's not right and all that. It doesn't concern me.
I'll tell you something, though. Like, there are certainly not people that like knobs. Yeah. But when you go and talk to CIOs and with even like engineers and so on, the large majority of them would be very happy and glad that they don't have to do all this management anymore. Like on average, we consider like, should we have some knobs and enable you to tune and things and something like. We did some validation, and what we found out is maybe we could get a 1% of CPU back across all the workloads. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, and maybe there's a wrong point as well with the knobs or no knobs approach is that you need to document that. If you have a knobs approach, you need to document everything. You need to make sure you have track of that. And while you can do that in a small shop, if you have a small infrastructure, 2, 3, 4, 5 hosts, 20, 50 VMs, you can still somehow keep track of that. But you're working at an enterprise scale, then it gets incredibly difficult to track all of these. Sometimes you won't even track anything. Some people are just going to make changes here and there. And in the end, it can be detrimental to the business, right? So
yeah,
it's probably better to have this kind of approach.
It's like Kubernetes the hard way.
Yeah, I was talking to the CTO of the New York Times, and they built their crossword app, which is, the New York Times crossword is a big deal. If that's not working, that's, you don't get much more mission critical for New York Times than a crosswords app, believe it or not. They do fine coverage, but the crosswords app has to be up. So they went serverless, and he was telling me one of the most difficult things was not building the application, but getting his engineers refocused on not having knobs. Mm-hmm. And once they were able to reorientate to not having the knobs, they were able to create something super special, because based on microservices and modern architecture that scales to the size that New York Times needs it to scale, and completely changed operations because they were able to adopt this shift in mentality. And I think for this open converged, hyper converged, for this whole infrastructure as a as more of a appliance type of model, where management is very much simplified, knobs have to be taken away, and it has to just simply work. You know, it has to be one of those things that we can look at it and say, you know what, that works so well, let's just buy 2, 3, 4 of them. It scales, it works, and we can, you know, talk about Kubernetes the hard way or serverless or all this other stuff that we quite haven't figured out yet.
Yeah. I have actually a question for you, Keith. We're talking about, you know, containers and Kubernetes and so on. You know, at Datrium, we do support containers. We not only support containers running in VMs on, you know, vSphere or OpenShift in the case of Red Hat Stack, but we also support containers running bare metal.
Mm-hmm.
And we do provide the drivers and the plugins to make persistent data for containers.
Right.
In the case of when still talking about web servers, they are ephemeral and so mm-hmm. on. What do you see there? Like, do you see organizations, because you talk about, no, it shouldn't matter, but it, you know, as a company that offers a wide range of solutions, where do you see customers moving to in regards to containers?
You know what it is? I've had a few different conversations with both customers and vendors in this space, and customers are all over the place, like more so than any other, I think, transformation. When VMs were, you know, extremely straightforward, there was a few apps that we couldn't virtualize for some years. But outside of that, we all just moved to one model of virtualization management. Containers has introduced some complexity into the enterprise because third-party application developers, internal application developers, internal application teams, all have different concepts of how they want to consume containers. At what level do they want to consume the container? Do they just want to package the app, send it over? Do they want to create an app that auto-scales and uses Kubernetes on the back end to do the scaling? Do they want to talk directly to the Kubernetes API? And it's basically all over the place. And then from an infrastructure team, do I want to build? So let's say we decided that we're all going to do Kubernetes. And from an infrastructure team, they have to decide how they want to manage that. Like, you guys are probably a little bit further ahead than most vendors in that space of being able to say that our open converged system can be consumed directly by a Kubernetes cluster,
bare metal,
and bare metal, and we're supporting that 100%.
Yeah,
there's especially the storage layer, like you mentioned, the persistent storage layer is a true concern of how do you get persistent storage out of a container ecosystem. So a long answer to your very short question is, customers are all over the spectrum. So it's good to see that you guys support both the bare metal options, OpenShift, and containers in VMs, because from what I'm seeing, customers are asking for all of the above at this point.
I see.
And there's also a kind of feeling I get about open convergence is that you kind of think forward to what's beyond virtualization. I've got the feeling, but maybe it's just my own limited perception, that HCI has been very much driven by virtualization as a concept somehow. And you're mainly supporting virtualized workloads there. You see that with Nutanix, with vSAN and others. There are some ways probably to support that, but I don't know if it's still supported.
I don't know how many workloads are now virtualized nowadays, though.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea?
I know a few, but it's not, I don't think there are many. I mean, I've been to a customer recently that are in the middle of the country where mm-hmm. They planning to go virtual. They had like 20 something servers, mm-hmm. and they only now planning to go into virtualization.
Wow.
I don't know how many out there are, mm-hmm. are like this, mm-hmm. but there are certainly those. So I don't know. I don't know where things are going, but the way I see is most things are virtualized today.
Yeah, I think even when you look at the big guys, you know, when we bring in the hyperscalers, I brought Netflix up and their container journey. they're full on with virtualization, period. They
so don't, you mentioned Netflix. Is Netflix virtualized?
Yeah, Netflix is virtualized. Not only are they virtualized, they're virtualized in AWS. I think 90% of their workloads are in AWS. And now they've started to layer containers on top of that. So we're getting to the point now, and these are like, they're not building like cloud native apps. They're just repackaging their existing set Java apps and putting them in containers so that they can more efficiently use EC2. Mm-hmm. So I think we're, for most mature enterprises, we're past the whole, can I virtualize the app? It's more of, you know what, do I need to eke out another 1%, another 5%? Am I in a transactional-based environment that another 1%, 5% performance increase is going to increase the bottom line?
Yeah, it's a good point about the applications moving to virtualization. So it's very hard, at least for me, to visualize like traditional companies that now are fully virtualized and have the applications built in the past 20 years to go moving everything to containers. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. No. I mean, you're talking about startups mm-hmm. who are building the new applications or traditional companies who are building a new application to invest. Yes, it makes sense. But what do we do with the long tail of applications that have been built in the last 30 years?
Mm-hmm. I talked to a startup, Nomada, and they were at a container meetup, and someone introduced the term distributed monolith. So even applications that were built in the last 5 years, they were never designed for containers, but they're modern applications that are not great candidates for the traditional microservice architecture, but customers want to put them in containers. But there's just not a market yet for that from an operations perspective for that type of model.
But then it's lift and shift.
Yeah.
Right. So that's an interesting case. Are we running out of time here?
We've got 3 minutes to go.
Okay, so I got to tell that because I've been talking to this customer who decided to move everything to Azure. And it's great. Like the CIO said, like, we're going to move everything to Azure. I don't want anything to be on-premise anymore. And they started making the move. And after they moved 10% of the workload, they hit 90% of their budget.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I don't even think people are thinking about those things general.
I've got a feeling that it's always the same recurring discussion when we talk about moving to cloud. It's always the same stuff. People go there because you just swipe in a card. It's easy. It's simple. It's a nice interface. And then suddenly you start figuring out that it's not that cheap as you thought it is. And you also have the aspect of, you know, the processes that you have in-house, if you're applying the same processes as you have there, and if you're just running the same virtualized workload there, well, it's more expensive to run, right?
Yeah, I think people, I've talked about this a lot, is that if you're putting a static workload in an environment that is based on dynamic billing, you're going to have an impedance mismatch. That those two things just don't go together.
Exactly.
And it's surprising. You know, I'm not surprised. I've heard that same story in variations several times, and people have had to pull back their cloud efforts, which is why we go back to look at stuff like, going back to the original conversation, why HCI is so important. HCI, Open Converged, this way of consuming infrastructure that's more cloud-like.
Absolutely. So I think we are just on time, and James has to run as well. So thank you all. Thank you, Andre. Thank you, James. And thank you, Keith, for being here with us at Tech Unplugged. And we hope to see you again at another event or for another podcast recording. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.